Hello, welcome to Category 5 Coffee Break. I'm VP9, hello. And if my view is correct, then above me is Solbu. Give us a wave, Solbu. Thank you very much.
Long and prosper.
Thank you, sir. And then to the right is, to his right is Doug. Give us a wave, Doug. And then next to me, I got it wrong again. There it is. And there's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi, guys.
How are you, sir? Good to see you. All right, not much going on for me. I'm having a hard time getting motivated this week. So, little things that I can show you are that I did get the pogo pins for the pine time. And what that means is that now I can program it much, much easier, because what happens is, see if it'll focus on. It doesn't look like it will, but those pins are fine enough that they fit exactly on the on the pine time pins. And so you literally just stick them down on the pins and then program them on this side. So I got it. There's the adapter cable, but I haven't actually done anything with it. So I need to program the pine time and get it running. It's been sitting there, it's been bricked because I unlocked it so that I could program it, but then I didn't do anything with it. So because I wasn't able to hold the pins, you know, I had four pins that I was trying to, you know, manhandle manually, and I couldn't do it. Those pins wouldn't stay there long enough for me to successfully program it. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Not much else going on here. Just lots of stuff at work, and that doesn't matter here. But just fun and games. So, Solbu, you want to go first?
Yeah, I've been mostly at home. I don't remember actually doing anything. I do remember I had a story to tell, but now that the day has come, it's completely gone from my brain.
You should have written it down, Solbu. Or told me the story, at least.
Yeah.
So I could remind you. I did manage I did make some progress with Mail Server, with PostFix and Dovecot, but I started swearing at it, and the moment I start swearing at it, I know it's time to go away. It's time to just go away from the keyboard, walk away, and worry about it some other time. I'm following your advice, Solbu, in that I'm putting the mail into mail files, either inbox or mail dir. I prefer mail dir just because of the directory structure and all that.
Yeah, and also it's easier for any mail application, as the mail builds on, as the years go on, and it doesn't have to look through a huge, big file in order to find a certain mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I prefer MailDir for that reason. But my problem is that the Dovecot and PostFix disagree on where they should put mail and where they should find mail. Not sure why. Don't know what's going on with that, so I may have to do a bit of a workaround around that. But
The thing is that the PostFix is putting the mail in a certain place. And then you need to tell PostFix to look in that same place.
You mean Dovecot?
Yeah.
Yes, right. I understand that. And I'm just having trouble getting them to agree where they should put mail and retrieve mail from. So I'm pretty sure I'm close. As I said, I just started getting frustrated with it and I walked away. And I felt like that was the best thing to do, is just walk away. So
you should do what Sheldon does when something doesn't go his way. He writes a strongly worded letter. So maybe you should write a strongly worded mail to your mail server.
The spam filter will probably catch it for excessive swear words.
Yeah. Speaking of email, my old man, I was at my parents for dinner yesterday, He has we talked about this things around because he has started he is retired, but the old job is still paying him to help and maintain the systems.
It's an old
Unix system, and they are he is maybe the only one left to know how to handle this, and they
that
still need that
scary.
System.
That is scary when you're the only one left. That is very sad.
Yeah, and he has kept. He never delete any email. He deletes spam. I think that's the only thing that he actually deletes.
Even got to be careful about spam, because you can even get useful emails in your spam folder. You better.
There is no automatic filtering. He manually deletes any spam that comes in. Yeah.
Okay.
This means, and he has had email since about 1990 when he started at the company.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
So he has 31 years of email, and he has everything.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Nice. Does he use inbox, mailbox format or inbox format?
I think he uses Outlook.
Well, oh, so does he use POP to retrieve them all back to his machine?
Yeah.
Okay. So Outlook probably uses a database or something. I don't know what it uses. So.
And whenever he needs to start... using a new type of email client, that usually has been due to the company changed. Then he takes his time to import all his old emails.
And he
does not check email on the new system until he has made sure that everything is imported into the new system.
He'd have to be very confident that he's got everything imported correctly then. I don't know how he does that. Wow. Nice. Yeah, at work we use Outlook as well, but all our mail is on their server, and our folders just sync to their server, much like IMAP. I'm not sure. It might even be using IMAP under the covers. I'm not sure. But yeah, I have no expectation of privacy on a work laptop, on a work issued laptop. So I have no problem with that. So it's all good. Mr. Doug, what sort of trouble are you getting into, sir?
Well,
new Raspberry Pi's working.
it isn't. I gave up on the Raspberry Pi. I'm waiting for the X4U to arrive. And it should be here the 8th of this week. I'm sorry, April 8th, which I believe is Wednesday.
Right. Okay.
Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep. Okay.
So we'll see about that. Probably next Saturday. I'll see what I can do with it.
Very nice. Very nice. I won't ask you if you got it from Ameritroid.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I didn't want to put you on the spot there, Doug. So, so what do you think you're going to? What are your plans then in terms of operating system and applications on the X4U?
I'm going to go with Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
At least I bought an EMMC that has Ubuntu already on it.
Oh, nice!
I also bought an EMMC burner, so I can change it if I want to.
Oh, that's a good idea. Where'd you get that from, Amazon?
No, that all came from Ameridroid.
Ameridroid. Ooh, I'm going to have to hit him up for an EMMC burner and or reader. I think that would come in very handy. Because I put my EMMC in my main machine, but the one that was intended for the laptop that I returned to Dell, and they did give me my money back, which I'm pleased about. The laptop... ended up not, it wouldn't even power on after a while. And I just have once again started getting really frustrated at it.
Sure.
The initial problem, of course, was that it would not recognize the SATA drive no matter what I did. And I refused to send it back to Dell for them to pay them to estimate what it would cost to fix it. It's a brand new machine and they wouldn't budge off that position. So I said, fine, take it back. I'll have my money back. Thank you very much. And yeah, they did. So I am not paying them for them to estimate a brand new machine to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, repair a machine still under warranty.
Yeah, exactly. So I put the EMMC that was destined for that machine into my main machine. However, Linux doesn't see it. And the reason Linux doesn't see it, after I searched the internet for a while, the reason Linux doesn't see it is because it's that the BIOS have the hard drive set up as RAID, not AHCI or whatever the ACHI or whatever the alternative setup is. So I need to configure the BIOS to be AHCI. I forget which way those letters work. But once I've done that, then I should be able to boot off Windows off the existing hard drive. I think I have to do this a very special way because the Windows drivers that are on the hard drive now are right now on configured for RAID, so they won't see any of the drive. If I switch to BIOS without doing these special steps in Windows first, then Windows won't even see the main drive or the EMMC, and I'll brick the machine. So I don't want to do that. So yeah.
And there is also I have the same issue with my rack mounted server that I bought a year ago. I had a new drive that I wanted, an additional drive that I wanted to put into it, and it didn't see it. And it turned out it's hardware RAID configured.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and someone told me not too long ago that he had the same machine, and he had to turn off RAID. He had to turn it off somehow in the BIOS configuration. But he also said that any drive that was already formatted by that same system, you would not see anything again on the drive unless you turn the hardware RAID back on. So if your Windows system was installed using hardware RAID and you turn it off in the BIOS, then you still can't see anything of that file. You have to reformat and start from this. Yeah.
So I don't think these steps require reformatting the hard drive. They do require that you load certain drivers in Windows before you switch the BIOS back to AHCI or whatever it is. So as long as you take those steps in the correct order, it should work.
Yeah, but it also depends on how the RAID controller talk to the drive, because it is how the file system is formatted. It's the RAID controller, when it is in hardware RAID mode, it does something to the drive. So you say for instance you have a system with two drives in RAID 1 and the system crashed for some reason, you can't just take those two drives out and put it in another system unless that other system has the exact same type of hardware RAID controller. You can't just use software RAID and read it.
I never even realized that the BIOS was set up for RAID, and I just moved my SATA drive from my old desktop into this one, booted up Linux, and that's all I ever run on this machine.
Yeah.
I only switched to Windows just every now and again. But it found and booted up on Linux without any problem at all. It does so, you know, every day. I don't boot it up every day. You know, I normally leave the thing running 24/7. I never had a problem. It never even occurred to me to look at the BIOS to see if it should be to see if it's configured as RAID or whether I should move it to anything else. But I found this article. I'll follow those steps and I'll see if I can find it. I'll share that article with you as well, Solbu. So you know, maybe it'll work for you on your rack mounted server. So Stormy, welcome. I just wanted to say hello. I wanted to give Brian a go first, then I'll let you have a go, okay? So, Brian, welcome. Good to see you.
Yeah. Nothing major here. Just, as we say, same old, same old. Each day I go out for a walk every morning, listening to podcasts, and then I come back, sit at this desktop and go down rabbit holes day after day.
I'm very good at that.
Yeah. I've been experimenting the last couple of weeks with a piece of software called EtiSync, E-T-E-S-Y-N-C.
Okay.
Which is an it's an encrypted, it's basically for syncing calendars, contacts, calendars, and tasks.
Okay.
It's an open source piece of what I've normally done.
So do you mean that you're running it as a service on your machine that your other machine sync to?
Well, you can run it on your own server, but I'm actually on EtiSync, have a server set up, and you can use that. What you do is you get a free trial for a 14 days, a couple of weeks, and then they charge for it, but it's nominal. I think it's like $1 a month or something. You pay for 2 years.
But I still don't want to. I still don't want to rely on anyone else's computer. For me, I would rather run something like Davicale on my local Linux machine, and that's exactly what I do actually. I'm on Davicale that hosts my. I run Davicale on my local machine that hosts my calendar and contact list, and all of my devices, phone, iPad, laptops, all of them, they all sync to that Davicale instance, and it just works. It just works. So yeah, I would, if you've got a machine that you don't mind leaving running, even if it's I wouldn't recommend a Raspberry Pi or an X4U for that necessarily. Hello, Peter. I wouldn't recommend a Raspberry Pi necessarily, although I have to admit, the Raspberry Pi that I've got running here has been running nonstop for as long as the power stays on. Has been running nonstop for weeks even. So, you know, there's no reason not to use it except for your data is there. And you're going to want to make sure that your data is safe. That's the whole point. This desktop gets backed up all the time. So
that's the interesting thing with EtiSync, though. It's totally encrypted. So when you set it up, you have the keys. So EtiSync or anybody else, even if they got the data, it's just a blob.
Okay. But the problem is if they go away, if they disappear for whatever reason, if you lose contact with them or if their server shut down for any reason, your data is gone.
It's not. It's also on your own. Like I've got it. It's shared between my Evolution and my phones, etc. So even if their server went down instantly now, I've got copies on my devices. You can then export that as a normal ICS file. And, you know, and import it into something else.
Have you tried that?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've got daily backups of all my data. So if I ever do go down.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Interesting, as I say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to subscribe to it because I'm on my second week of the trial. Mm. And then I'm going to try, because I've got this main desktop computer is more or less a server sort of hardware. It's on most of the day. The only time it goes down is I suspend it in the evening, you know, sort of midnight till 7 a.m. or whatever. But it's on because I use this as a Plex server as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and run an EtiSync, my own instance, on this machine as well.
Would you mind sending a link to their website? I'll post it in the show notes, please.
Yeah.
EtiSync. For anyone who's interested in using it, I'm not interested because I've got a local solution that works fine for me, and it keeps my data in my network where I believe it belongs. So, but other folks might be interested. So, yeah, I'd love to see that. Put it in Discord or so, if you don't mind. Stormy. Do you prefer Stormy or do you prefer Ian?
Either one works.
Okay. What's going on with you, sir?
Practically nothing.
Okay, Peter, how are you, sir?
How's everyone? yeah, not much going on. I'm trying to get my Minecraft Bedrock Edition world to load up. I'm using this like wrapper thing that someone developed, which allows you to run the Android version of Minecraft, like the Bedrock version, on top of Linux. It's a really hacky workaround, but it does work.
Interesting. Yeah. I found a book somewhere that said you could modify Minecraft or build mods for it if you use the Forge version of Minecraft, but I've never been able to get that working. So
yeah, well, the Forge version.
By the time you fiddle with it and mess with it, you could have just gone and bought a copy of it anyway, right? So what is it, like 20 or 30 bucks or something? So
yeah,
I just have a problem sending money to Microsoft. That's all.
yeah, I don't really care much for Microsoft either.
They went bought.
Yeah. but with so Microsoft,
we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'll give Peter a go real quick, unless you've got anything else for me.
Nope.
Okay, not a problem. Peter, you came in last, man. You only came in like 10 minutes ago.
No, I've forgotten the time.
I even gave you a warning. I even said 4 p.m. GMT. How could you miss that?
I didn't look on the thing. I didn't. I've been doing other things like H2 sort of thing. Yeah. So,
okay. Well, you've switched to daylight savings now, so you've got no excuse anymore.
I know that, but everything went weird.
So I hear that. I understand. I wasn't sure how many people were going to jump in because it's Easter Sunday. So yeah. I'm glad you all made it.
The box that didn't work from Amazon, we don't talk about. I managed to make we're putting it into a box and we managed to make a buffer board for it. The NDB buffer board on it, so we can put that in the box, so we're going to do that after Easter, we think. We're waiting for the
box. You're literally fixing it yourself?
Yeah, all it needed was that output transistor to be replaced.
Nice.
And a
resistor to suppress the input, right?
No, just the transistor they buy us for the bastard totally wrong.
Right.
We took the transistor out and we coupled the input to the output to the socket, and then we plugged in another board I designed to make sure it worked. And so I've been doing a little bit of that and a bit more electronics, yeah.
Oh, good.
And Robbie, you remember the function generator that I showed you with all the colour buttons on a long time ago?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We also built a buffer board for that as well, and we had to get 1.5 watt coming out of it at between 0.5 megs, so that was quite good. We had a couple transistors, slightly worn up transistors, slightly too much, but we got around that problem. I just reduced the current down.
It's not good when those transistors warm up, because that's a path to failure right there.
It was running near the limit, though. That was the problem. It's a follower circuit, and instead of having a resistor in the emitter, I put a current source, which I could vary up and down, which is a far better way of doing things.
Okay.
It makes it wideband as well, more wideband.
Yeah, when we test circuits, we typically limit the current quite a bit so that, you don't just feed full current into it, especially if they're older circuits, and you do that on purpose so that if there's a problem, you're not going to destroy anything. So
they come today. Did you see that?
I've got so much light coming in from the back, Peter, from behind you, from the window behind you, that I can't even see what that is. It looks like a crystal or something.
It's a capacitor from Russia. I bought some very precise capacitor.
Crystal. Okay.
Capacitor.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's 8,160 puff at 0.5%, and it's trusted. Okay. It came in a box. It came in a box, and around the box was a lot of newspaper. And on the newspaper, there was about gardening, and they were selling onions at 23 rupees, whatever that is. And guess what color, what type of onion it was? It was a red onion. I thought that was quite
good. Very funny.
I said at the beginning,
no politics, but still you skirt the edge, don't you? You can't help yourself, can you?
There's a red onion. That's all
I said. Oh, you're so bad. You are so bad.
All right, then.
We are, believe it or not, we are at 27 minutes. Can you believe that? And that's right about where Robbie wants it to be. So I am going to go ahead and shut it down. So have a great Easter for the rest of the rest of you. Have a good Easter. Take care. Stay safe. And I will see you next week. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
We got snow coming.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.